Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, when I started to prepare this homily, the first thing I figured I should do is read through the text a few times so that I could figure out what Paul is saying and then saying to me so that I can in turn say it to you. Trouble is, my reading progress kept getting snagged at verse 2. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Every time I tried to row a little farther down the textual river, verse 2 kept reeling me back in, especially that expression that Paul uses, the law of Christ. It's kind of a surprising turn of phrase when you think about it. I personally am much more familiar with other lexical combinations, like the law of Moses and the gospel of Christ. Paul seems to put Christ on the other side of this law-gospel division. It looks to me like he sets up Christ's law over and against Mosaic law. Why does he do it? He doesn't say, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Moses, or even do as Christ did and as Moses said in Leviticus 19, for example, love your neighbor as yourself. Instead, he says, bear with one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. It's an interesting and telling choice of words. Maybe you can begin to see where Paul is coming from if we look a little bit at the shape of Jesus' ministry. His ministry centers around the question of who has real authority. The Gospels keep pointing out that Jesus is the guy. For example, they tell us that people were astonished at the authority of Jesus' teaching. He was not like the scribes. A new teaching and with authority, they said. In the gospel stories, Jesus wields his authority all over the place. He heals people, he casts out demons, he multiplies loaves of bread, he raises people from the dead. He says to the religious leaders, but that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, rise, pick up your bed, and go home. He said that to the paralyzed man who rose and walked home. He is so secure in his own authority that Jesus even gives his disciples the authority to cast out demons and heal disease. No problem. And when the religious leaders challenge his authority, Jesus usually left them perplexed and angry. His authority even seemed to extend over the law of Moses the Great. Jesus talked and acted like the law of Moses was subject to him. He broke the Sabbath laws when he felt like it. He had little regard for the clean versus unclean distinctions of the law. He ate with sinners. As for the authoritative teachers of Moses, Jesus embarrassed them, undercut their authority, told them they didn't understand the scriptures, replaced his legal interpretations with their own, and basically marginalized them at every turn. The Pharisees had to be thinking, who died and made this guy God? Jesus, of course, did die for all of this. He died as a blasphemer, a sinner, and a man under God's curse. Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all the things written in the book of the law to do them, the law of Moses says. Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, the law of Moses says. The only problem, especially from the Pharisees' perspective, is that Jesus didn't stay dead. God evidently approved of this character and raised him from the dead as proof. The law of Moses had no power to hold Jesus. Jesus had authority even over death. Jesus, the one who rose from the dead, is the guy worth following. As he said to his disciples, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Who needs the law of Moses? Christ is the one who is in charge of everything, not Moses. We need to hear what the guy in charge says to us, not Moses. It's the guy in charge that can get stuff done, not Moses. So, First question, what does this guy in charge, what does Christ say to you? Well, quite a lot, it turns out. He tells you that he has redeemed you from the curse of the law. He tells you that you are no longer slaves, but sons of God through faith in him. He tells you that you are children of the promise. He tells you that your sins are forgiven. Not only that, but he has sent his Spirit to you as he has promised. He has raised you from death to life. In baptism, he has clothed you with himself. None of that is just vain or empty talk. This is the one who raised the dead and who himself rose from the dead. His words to you cannot fail. So, when it comes to living our lives, of course, Paul sets the law of Christ over the law of Moses. Christ is the one we listen to, the one we follow. But after doing all this for us, after redeeming us from sin and death, after giving us an entirely new identity, Christ doesn't turn around and saddle us with a whole new rule book or a whole new list of regulations. He gives us this simple direction for our lives. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also ought to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Paul puts some flesh and bones on Jesus' command to love. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. There's a delightful give and take quality built in to the law of Christ. It puts us all in the same boat, miserable sinners who need Christ's grace and forgiveness every day of our lives and who actually receive it, and miserable sinners who need grace and forgiveness and love from each other every day of our lives. May we receive that too. Here's what Martin Luther says. If we are able to bear and overlook our own faults and sins, which we commit in such great numbers every day, let us bear with those of others as well. What a great way to live life in this world. You carry the load for someone else, and they in turn will carry your load for you. If we heed it, it will keep us humble, and ironically, keep us centered in the gospel of Christ, not the law of Moses. It will keep us forgiving, being forgiving people and forgiven people, not blaming or accusing. And we will experience touches of grace from the most surprising of places in our lives. Where it is followed, the law of Christ builds relationships. It binds us to each other. It doesn't tear us apart. It leads us to love and accept each other, not pass judgment. It forces us to depend on each other. By it, we actually embody the gospel in our practices. It's a wonderful and creative and restorative way to live our lives, a wonderful way to be God's people in this world, his church, to be his disciples. Amen. Now may the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, which passes all our understanding, keep your hearts and minds together in Christ Jesus. Amen.